in the limelight.
The U.S. War Party is among the greatest losers. Consider Afghanistan, says Doug Bando, author, in an article published under the heading, Washington War Party creates another organization to promote endless wars. Stay tuned for more. After 20 years of U.S. death and destruction in Afghanistan, the U.S. administration ordered a withdrawal. Most Americans backed the decision to stop at least one endless war. But the bipartisan war party in Washington is horrified. The neocons already dominate Washington. Republican Party, think tanks, and media such as the Wall Street Journal. Neocon influence also reaches well into the Democratic Party. What was Hillary Clinton other than a neocon in liberal drag? Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Bob Menendez appears to be as committed to promiscuous intervention as any Republican. Samantha Power famously expressed irritation that popular anger over the Iraq disaster, imagine that, prevented war-happy policymakers like her from launching bloody new foreign crusades. So many countries to bomb, so little time. But in the neocons' view, even this dominance isn't nearly enough. When even one non-interventionist is on the loose in Washington, they believe they must act decisively. More important, Donald Trump is still active, enjoying the loyalty of the seriously deranged GOP base. He was rarely consistent or coherent. His hawkish staffers easily manipulated him to stay in, and often even escalate, the conflicts that he inherited. However, unlike the neocons, he really didn't like war. The last president who did not embark on at least one new misadventure and needlessly sacrifice American lives was Jimmy Carter. Trump's surprisingly peaceful policy left the war lobby confused, distraught, and angry, even though Trump routinely hired its members. The ultimate question is leadership to do what? The U.S. led in Iraq. The result? Destruction of a country, sectarian war, mass civilian casualties, creation of multiple insurgent terrorist groups, slaughter of minority religious communities was a humanitarian and a strategic disaster. The U.S. led for 2 decades in Afghanistan for no good reason. Attempting to create a strong central government and Western-style democracy where none had previously existed. The U.S. claimed to lead in Yemen, promising to limit civilian casualties while providing the self-aggrandizing Saudi royals with everything necessary to wreak death and destruction upon the Yemeni people. The U.S. spent decades leading against Iran, helping to overthrow a democratically elected government. Aiding a neighboring dictatorship's aggressive war against Tehran that killed 1 million-plus people, shooting down an Iranian airliner, and many other examples of U.S. terror against Iran. Today, the neocons and the rest of the war party define leadership as defending rich allies, rebuilding failed states, creating enemies faster than they can be killed, starving peoples to hurt their leaders, supporting aggressive war in the name of humanity, and intervening everywhere against everyone for anything. No wonder even America's friends have grown leery of its leadership. Washington now even acts against longtime allies. Those which refuse to accept U.S. leadership and enforce America's will are punished as enemies. To start, every sanction is secondary as the war lobby abuses America's financial dominance to conscript others in Washington's endless economic crusades. Worse, supposed friends become official targets. For instance, Washington punished Germany for building a natural gas pipeline to Russia because the U.S. said doing so is not in Berlin's interest. Many Germans suspect that Washington's feigned solicitude is primarily a ploy to force Europe to purchase more American natural gas. Hence, global leadership at its most cynical. No country poses a serious conventional threat to America. NATO is welfare for European states which can't be bothered to use their own resources, collectively 11 times the economic power and 4 times the population, to defend against Russia. Indeed, Moscow couldn't easily digest Georgia and Ukraine if it invaded them. Militarily, China threatens U.S. influence in East Asia, not the homeland. A huge difference. Even the worst neocon fantasies don't project Chinese invasion fleets advancing on Los Angeles and Seattle. In essence, Washington fears losing its ability to coerce China nearly 8,000 miles away, not defend America from Chinese aggression. The challenge posed by Beijing is principally other than military. In particular, the U.S. did not want Eurasia dominated by any one power, especially an adversary of America. American leadership requires Washington to do for others what they should be doing for themselves, such as providing for their defense. The U.S. is also one of the chief offenders against free trade. Even today, Washington routinely supports tyranny abroad. Egypt, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates are just 4 regimes that America backs almost unreservedly. Moreover, the U.S. is often callous and cruel. For instance, the now pervasive use of sanctions appears to be mostly a continuing attempt to signal virtue than achieve anything practical. Officials like former Ambassador Jim Jeffrey, who admitted misleading Trump to keep Americans entangled in the Syrian imbroglio, appear to get cruel pleasure from immiserating an entire population to turn it into a geopolitical quagmire for other states. Never mind the millions of innocent people who suffer along the way. So far, most sanctions have failed to achieve their purported policy ends. Indeed, the Trump administration's multiple maximum pressure crusades were a stunning debacle. Targeting individual malefactors proved emotionally satisfying, but had no practical impact. The only possible foreign conclusion was that Trump's sanctions policy was being implemented by fools, idiots, or both. He did a fine if inadvertent job of undermining American credibility worldwide. And then there are America's many wars. In Yemen, even the State Department warned that top U.S. officials risked being charged as accomplices to war crimes by aiding the vile Saudi dictatorship's aggressive war. Indeed, Yemeni civilians call it the Saudi-American War. In Libya, the Obama administration lied about humanitarian threats to win United Nations Security Council approval for what became a regime change operation on the cheap. Muammar Gaddafi was a dictator, but committed no civilian massacres, and his widely cited threats were directed against armed opponents, not civilians. The result of U.S. intervention was an added decade of civil war, including another battleground for Daesh. Most horrific was Iraq. Set aside the thousands of dead and tens of thousands of wounded Americans, victims of lies and manipulated intelligence. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, estimates begin at about 200,000 and range well above a million, were killed. Millions were displaced. Religious minorities were targeted, murdered, kidnapped, enslaved, raped, and driven from their homes. Al-Qaeda in Iraq was spawned, mutating into ISIS. The country was ravaged.